Well, good morning. It's better now. I guess you kind of judge if you're doing things right by how much opposition you get sometimes. Sometimes you can blame it on the devil, and sometimes it's your own fault. But either way, we went out to get in the van this morning, and it was completely dead. Nothing. And it never happens when it's 80 degrees out. You know, it happens when it's cold and raining, you know. So thankfully, I didn't electrocute myself with the jumper cables. Managed to get here barely under the wire. Anyway, glad you're here this morning. And there's some folks that are still out of pocket. Brother Beal is up in Salisbury, North Carolina. I believe the whole family's up there. He's doing a family conference this weekend up there. And so we want to pray for them. Brother Larry Harris called me yesterday and asked if we could just make sure we got everything covered with the soundboard today. He sounded horrible. He and Candy both have been battling this flu bug for 3 or 4 days, and it's licking them more than they're licking it right now. So I want to keep them lifted up in our prayers as well. And there's others that are, you know, out of pocket on the road, traveling in and out. But we're going to rejoice with those that are here today. Good to see Tim and Grant. And one of these days, they're going to let Beth come too. So I tell you, over the years, I've really come to look up to Grant. And they were faithful members here and faithful workers for a long time, and we're always glad when they're able to be back here with us. And we're going to start with a word of prayer. We're going to remember our missionaries in particular this morning. We want to remember the Boylstons and the Jennings, the Lockharts and the Schrocks, and then the Ibans. And I always miss somebody. Who am I missing? Maietas. That's the one I'm missing today because I never do it in the same order. Okay? I'll get it if you give me a minute. So we want to, in particular, remember them this morning. And any other urgent requests, we go to prayer this morning. Yes, ma'am. Rhoda. It's got the bug also. All right. Any other urgent requests? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask His blessings on our day. Grant, Kelly, I'm going to ask you if you would to lead us in prayer, sir, would you? Going to deviate from the study that we've been on for a little while, and then we'll get back into something here pretty soon. But today, I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to just look at this subject this morning, how to break your New Year's resolutions. How to break your New Year's resolutions, all right? This is, New Year's resolutions are almost proverbial, are they not? I mean, the New Year's resolutions, I don't know why, you know, how it all got started. I mean, I can speculate, and we can come up with some decent, probably, conjecture. But the basic definition, when I say New Year's resolution and you all smirk, this is my definition, and you might say it a little different way, but this is how I would say it. It's things that you know you ought to be doing, that you haven't been doing, that you tell yourself that you are going to do, but chances are you're not really going to do it. Okay? That's how I describe New Year's resolutions. Okay? And a lot of times that's the case. A lot of times, you know, sometimes it's, hey, I've got to get something started. You know, a few years ago, when my dad was diagnosed as diabetic, you know, and then he also had colon cancer. Now, praise the Lord, this year he had a checkup and he's 5 years clear and you know, and cancer free on that, so we're able to get it all and nothing's come back at this point, so we praise the Lord for that. Which, by the way, I failed to mention in the prayer request time, Mrs. Stevens. They sent her home the same evening after the surgery, which is crazy, but anyway, she's at home and trying to rest. Pastor Stephen said she'll sleep a while and be awake a while, and obviously he's in a good bit of pain. They cut you right there in the abdomen, you know, every time you move or twist or roll over or do anything. But he was preaching this morning, and one of the ladies from the church was going to sit with him, and then you know, he's going to, other than that, he's been with her all the time. Just pray that the Lord restores her quickly. And they were supposed to move, 2 weeks? And move their stuff up here from South Carolina. That's not going to happen. That's going to get pushed back a little bit. But anyway, we need to pray for Mrs. Stevens as well. But, you know, right now, cancer was the connection there. Believe it or not, there was a reason I chased that rabbit. They're waiting on the pathology report to come back. To everything looked good from what they could see, but they're waiting on the pathology report from the tumor that they removed to see, you know, if there was any cancer in that. The doctor said it. He's done a lot of these surgeries, but this is the largest one he's ever seen. And so the size of that is what concerned him about the possibility of cancer. So anyway, I mean, those are things that, but you know, my dad got a report. So that caused me to say, okay, I've got to change some things, all right? If I don't want to end up in the same spot where he is, you know, 25 years down the road, it caused me to change some things in my life habits, okay? Not huge things, but it made me say, okay, if I don't want to end up there, then I should start doing this kind of thing now, okay? But sometimes that's the case. Sometimes a new year is just kind of a great jump-off point. Hey, this, you got to start sometime, and you're always going to start, you know, my diet starts Monday, my diet starts next week, you know, I'm going to start exercising as soon as it quits raining, you know. It's always, right, and sometimes the first of the year is a great point to just draw a line and say, all right, it's got to start sometime, so we're going to start here, okay? But so many times, the New Year's resolutions they don't last very long. One of my favorite cartoon strips is the BC comic. I think it was New Year's Day this week. BC, the guy, it said, you know, Peter's Gym and Health Food Emporium. And it's like, what's this? I said, well, this is what I do for January. You know, and then in February, I go back to being a snack shop and lounge, you know. And so many times, it's good intentions, but what causes us to maybe to not follow through? And like I said, sometimes a New Year's resolution is something you know you ought to be doing. Okay, for instance, hey, the holidays are really busy, and I've gotten out of my habit of reading my Bible every day, or you know, my quiet time's gotten messed up, or hey, I need to eat better, I need to exercise regularly, I need to make it a point to be there for soul winning, whatever it is. And there's good things. It's not just proverbial. But in that context, came across a verse here in Galatians chapter 5 that I think applies pretty well to where we are. Of course, those of you that are familiar with your Bible, you know the context of Galatians 5, if we were going to sum it up succinctly, it would be Christian liberty. Okay, Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Chapter 4, the discussion in much of Galatians is about legalism. Okay? Legalism, in its biblical sense, is the teaching that you have to keep the law in addition to faith in Christ in order to truly have salvation. That's legalism. Legalism is adding the law to salvation. Legalism is not living your life by a set of standards. Okay? Now, the working definition for legalist or legalism today is anybody that has a higher standard than I do. Okay? If you have a lower standard than I do, you're a compromiser. And if you have a higher standard than I do, you're a legalist. That's basically the functioning definition in a lot of our circles. Okay? That's not a biblical definition. Now, is there merit to that? At times. Okay? There are clear biblical standards that we ought to hold. Okay? And we ought to hold them whether somebody calls us a legalist or not. But in Galatians, somebody had showed up after Paul had come. He'd won these people to the Lord. He'd established a church. He'd moved on. Somebody showed up from Jerusalem and said, hey, I know what Paul told you, but he didn't tell you the whole story. The rest of the story is you've still got to keep the Old Testament law and circumcision and all of those things if you truly want the full salvation. Okay? That is legalism. And so he's been combating that. That's one of the primary arguments in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, he talks about how we're descendants of the son of the free woman, not the son of the bond woman, as the lead-in to the fact that in Christ we have liberty. Okay, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay, that's the context. Right? Now, down in verse number 6, In Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. And he's using those two terms. If you go back and look in Galatians, circumcision is a reference to those that would keep the Jewish law. Circumcision was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, just like the rainbow is a sign of the Noahic covenant. Circumcision is the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. And so circumcision was a reference to the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic law and everything that was peculiar to the Jews. Okay, uncircumcision, therefore, was everybody else. Okay, verse 6, he says, in Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. He's not talking about a medical procedure, but what those things represented. Okay, but faith which worketh by love. Now here's our text verse this morning, Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. All right? And the reason I see a parallel to New Year's resolutions in the proverbial sense, in verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? In other words, you used to, but you're not now. Okay, that's the idea here. Ye did run well. That verb there, did run, has the idea of ongoing action in the past. Okay? It was a regular occurrence in the past, but it's not going on now. Okay? So in other words, I could say it this way. Ye used to run well. What happened? Okay? And so that fits the proverbial definition of a New Year's resolution, right? You're doing well for a little while, and then you quit. What happened? But ye did run well. This word run is used in a literal sense. Matthew 27 and Mark 15, it says that one ran and filled a sponge with vinegar, and they gave it to Christ to drink on the cross. It's same word is used in John chapter 20, when the women showed up at the tomb, and Jesus was gone, and they ran to tell the apostles. And then a little bit later on, Peter and John ran back to see what was going on. It's used in that same sense, meaning literally to run or to move quickly. Okay, but also by application, it's used in a sense of to make an effort to advance. Okay, to make an effort to advance spiritually or intellectually or to exert yourself. That's the application or the secondary definition of this word run. This word run was used, for instance, in Romans 9 and verse 16 when Paul was using the Olympic Games as an illustration. I didn't type the verse out here, so let me read it to you real quick. Romans 9 and verse 16. So then it's not of him that willeth nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, same idea. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And it's used in a literal sense of running in a race, but also by application. The idea is your run or your walk in the sense of your path in life or your course of life or that to which you are applying yourself. Okay? Ye did run well. Now, how many of you in this room love running? Okay? That's what I thought. Okay? Maybe 5%. Okay? Now, I love running, but I hate it. But I love it, but I hate it. If you run, you know what I mean. Okay? There's a physical benefit to exercise of any kind. You get the blood pumping, it releases endorphins, you feel better physically, all of those things, but it's work. And sometimes it just hurts. And you gotta do it even if it does hurt, or you give up pretty quick, right? Any form of exercise, whatever it may be. And the older we get, the more easy it is for us to get sore. Okay? The older I get, the more amazed I am at my kids when, you know, they just bounce and get up and keep going, and they're made out of, you know, Super Bowls. And when I go down, I tend to stay down. Don't bounce like I used to, right? But, you know, you run. And running is a perfect parallel to a course in life in the sense that it requires effort, it requires exertion, it is demanding. And in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul said, use the Olympic races as a parallel, and later on in that verse he said, know you not they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And that's when he said, Therefore, I run not as I fight, not as uncertainly, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Okay, and he's using the analogy there, but here when Paul says ye did run well, he's not chiding them for giving up on their New Year's resolution to go jogging. Okay, but rather here the run is a by application description of their course in life or running their race. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 said, I've finished my course, right? I've run my race. Now, Timothy, I'm going to my reward, but you got to run your race. Okay? And that's the application here, is that you did run well. Paul used this term other places, Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Okay? Galatians 2:2, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. The same idea of run, Paul used it metaphorically to speak of his work or his ministry or his task in life. Okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, pray for us that the word of God may have free course. That term free course is the same root word as the word run. And it has the idea of to have freedom of movement here, okay? But Paul used this term over and over again in reference to our life. Now, you probably were told this by your parents when you were younger. And those of you, or say those of us who have kids, have repeated something similar to this. Anything of value, anything that's going to last, or anything worth doing, requires some work, requires effort. I mean, and kids tend to think, especially, if they do pretty well in school, or, you know, they catch on to things pretty quick, they tend to think that everything should be easy. Okay? So then, ultimately in life, wherever it is, you run into that roadblock, and something is hard. It's no longer easy. Then it's like, well, this must not be the will of God. Okay, this is too hard, right? And we've all been tempted to think that way. But the reality is, things that are of value in life and things that are worth doing require work, require effort, require diligence, require persistence, which is why running and running a race is a great analogy. Okay, now I'm assuming that at some point in your life, all of you have run, even if you don't do that presently or maybe haven't done it in quite a while. Okay, but you understand the concept. Let's just say you were going to run, I would say 5K, but let's dial it back. Let's just say you're going to run a mile race. Okay, basically all of us in this room would have to work up to that. Okay, the first thing I'm going to do is walk to the mailbox and back, and then go see the cardiologist. Okay, I'm okay. Now I'm going to try walking to the end of the road and back. Okay, and we're going to ease into this thing and kind of build up to that point. But you know, that requires a persistence, a diligence, an effort. It means that I'm going to be tired, I might be sore. And you know what happens a lot when it comes to running? I don't feel like it. Okay? If you only run when you feel like it, you're never going to run. If you're older than 18. Okay? And even then sometimes, I mean, when I was on the soccer team in high school, I ran because the coach made me, not because... I mean, after about 3 minutes, I was good, And the worst times were when the coach said, you're going to run for 10 minutes straight or 15 minutes straight, no stopping. All right, you got to be kidding me, okay? You push through. When you hit that point where you feel like, I can't do anything else, you push through. Now, I'm not advocating, I was not sent here by Shelby Cardiology to encourage all of you to take up jogging as your New Year's resolution so they can get more patients, okay? But it makes a great analogy because it starts out, hey, I feel great. I still feel awesome. I'm to the end of the driveway now. I feel good. Hey, I made it to the neighbor's driveway. But eventually the point comes when you're tired or sore or, especially early on, you feel like your lungs are going to explode or you get that stabbing pain in your side and you feel like you've been shot, okay? And it's like... Okay, those times when it would be easy to quit and you must push through, that makes a great illustration for the type of persistence and effort and diligence it takes to run the race of life. Okay? Or to run the race, if we want to make that, use Paul's analogy, so many times in the verses that we have already read, he used that terminology in reference to a Christian walk. Okay? If we're going to be successful and faithful in our Christian walk, it's going to require that same type of persistence, diligence, effort, doing it when you don't feel like it, all of those things, okay? So here in Galatians 5:7, he says, ye did run well. You used to run well, or you were running well. It was going on in the past, and that term well means high standards of excellence or expectation, meeting expectations of personal excellence, okay, rightly or correctly. He said, you were doing a good job. Okay, he was not, it's not like, well, I'm the awkward slow kid. Okay, it wasn't like they were the ugly duckling that just, no, you were doing a good job. You were doing it right, you were doing it well, but then something happened. Ye did run well. Okay, and then the next phrase, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? The term hinder means to obstruct or to restrain. Okay? That term is used. Thayer says that that term means to beat back or to push against, to work against. A.T. Robertson gave the illustration of this word to hinder as to take someone that's running and then trip them. Okay? You're hindering their progress. Okay? But Paul said, you were doing well. Who did hinder you? Who obstructed you? Who restrained you? Who tripped you up? What caused you to quit running well? Okay? And then he makes the analogy in the end of verse 7, which is why I think it's also appropriate for us. Who did hinder you that ye should not... And what's the next word? Obey. Obey the truth. Okay? In running, or any form of exercise. Maybe it's weightlifting. You know, maybe for some of you, there was a time when you could lift significantly more weight than you put on the scales now. Okay? But to get to that point, it requires a choice to keep going. Even though it hurts, and you don't feel like it, and you don't think you're making any progress, and I don't want to, and all that stuff, right? In the same way, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Ultimately, in the same way that an athlete must make a choice, I'm going to do this because I value the prize more than I value the pain. Okay? Then the Christian life, we have to obey by choice as well. Who did hinder you that you did not obey the truth? Okay? Here he said, you were running well, and now he's making the comparison between running well to obeying the truth. So here, specifically, running well was running the Christian life. Or as Paul said, I fought a good fight. It was fighting the good fight. It is walking the path of obedience. But now, they've been hindered, they've been obstructed, they've been restrained, they've been beat back, they've been tripped up from the path of obedience. And now they're no longer obedient, or at least they're not fully obedient as they were at one point in time. Okay? And so he said, who did hinder you? Right? All of that to explain the verse and explain the context and the application. All right? And now I want to give you three causes for breaking our resolutions, or three things that will cause you to break your New Year's resolutions. Okay? Right here, in verse number 7, it says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Okay? That word who, the Greek pronoun there can be who or what or which, and the context determines how you translate it. The translator's got it 100% right here. Okay? In the context, In talking about Christian liberty, there were persons or people that came from Jerusalem and came and told them, hey, You've got to add the law to Christ in order to fully have salvation. So in their case, it was other people, right? It was opposition from others. But this same word could also be what? Okay, in another context, it could be the term what? All right, who or what, and cause us to break our New Year's resolutions. All right, I want you to turn with me. Let me find look 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's where I'm trying to go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is our favorite excuse, however, probably not the most common. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Okay? So, one cause of breaking it would be Satan, or opposition, if I could say it that way. I mean, this morning I called Pastor and I said, I must be doing something right, because the devil's fighting against me. I don't know if I'm going to make it on time. My battery's completely dead. Okay? Now, it's uncanny how those things tend to happen at missions conference or revival meetings, or it happens on Sunday, not on Thursday, you know. However, I mean, there was also another explanation for that. Okay? The back hatch on the van was closed, but it wasn't completely snapped. So that probably let it open just enough to leave the lights on all night. Okay? So I could blame that on myself as much as I can the devil. Okay? So I want to be very, very careful about giving the devil too much credit. Okay? Many, many times we want to give Satan too much credit. However, if we have no awareness of satanic opposition, it is equally as dangerous. Okay? If we give the devil so much credit that we just sit in a corner and say, uh-oh, the devil's going to fight me and I hate conflict, so maybe I should just sit here and do nothing. Okay? We've lost. What does James say? Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Okay? God has already told us that. 2 Peter chapter 1, way back when Pastor started the Wednesday night studies, God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay? However, there is an element in which Satan loves to oppose. Paul recognized that Satan had hindered him. Okay? Satan is not real interested in Maranatha Baptist Church reaching folks in Shelby. Okay? So what is maybe... He, you know, a lightning strike that, you know, put the building on fire may be considered an answer to prayer. Okay, as long as pastor's family's not still living in the apartment, you know, then that may be an answer to prayer. That, in a sense, the church would rally around and say, "Hey, let's pull together," you know, that kind of thing. It's far more effective if the devil can get the song leader mad at the preacher. Far more effective if he can get the Sunday school teacher mad at Sunday school superintendent, you know, or parents mad at the nursery workers, you know, and if you're fighting each other, it's a lot harder to fight the real enemy, okay? And that's what Satan loves to do, is to get us either fighting each other or just simply distracted, okay? Eye off the prize, distracted and looking in another direction, and so we're not focusing on God's priorities, all right? So one source of opposition or one cause for breaking a New Year's resolution would be Satan. I'll give you another one. Sin. Sin. Okay? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 1 Peter. This same word, hinder. Okay? Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. The context here is husband and wife relationship. Okay? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not, what's the next word? Hindered. Okay? So, sin, conflict happens if you got two people, you got the potential for conflict. Okay? You got two people with sin natures, you're going to have conflict. But if in a marriage relationship I'm not working to put others first, that's going to cause more. So in a marriage relationship, if I'm out of sorts with my wife, or a husband and wife are out of sorts with each other, it can cause our prayers and our effectiveness to be hindered. Okay? Look at, turn back a little bit to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, very familiar verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the, what's the next word? Sin, which does so easily beset us. Okay? Sin will cause us to fail in running our race. Okay? Sin, is the simple definition, is to miss the mark. Okay? In other words, here's the standard that God has set, and here's the standard that I hit. Probably more like this. You know, I can't reach high enough to show how much we truly missed it. But the idea of sin is that I missed the standard that God has set. Okay, so if God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and I don't treat my wife as lovingly as Christ treats the church, all right, I've sinned. I've missed that standard. Okay? Sin is another, there's many terms for sin. The word rendered sin in the New Testament means to miss the mark. You also have the word transgression. You have the word trespass. Okay? And trespass is one that we understand. No trespassing means here's a line, don't cross it. Okay? A trespass is when God drew a line and I crossed it. Okay? You know what's, in other words, you know what's right and you cross the line anyway. Okay? That's a real simple definition of sin. Sin will cause us to fail in running the Christian race. Okay? You it may not be directly, for instance, let's just say that we'll use the illustration of personal quiet time, you know, Bible reading and prayer time, okay? And you may not say, all right, I'm going to forget this. I don't need this Bible reading and prayer time. However, it's a sin over here in what you think is a totally, completely unrelated area, but, you know, this person just got on my nerves. And I just gave them a piece of my mind because they deserved it, and God begins to work on your heart. It's like, they deserved that. You know, I wasn't wrong. It can be something totally unrelated, but as we allow sin to stay and it festers and grows like a cancer, okay, eventually that sin or any other undealt with causes our, or immediately it causes our Bible reading and prayer time to lose its sweetness, okay, to lose effectiveness. And eventually you're like, I never get anything anyway. I'm not going to read it today. Okay, so while the initial choice wasn't, I'm going to stop reading my Bible, I'm going to stop going to church, or I'm going to, you know, do something that I know is wrong, sin in a completely unrelated area, undealt with, causes us to stop living for God. That's why Paul said here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That word beset means the idea is a trap, to cleverly placed around or to entangle. Okay? Skillfully surrounding to restrain runners is one definition there. And so there is application here to a besetting sin, as we sometimes call it, or the sin which consistently traps us. Okay? And some of those things are different. I mean, my food is an easy illustration. Okay? I've given this illustration before, and you know, I may be starving hungry. And if you put chocolate cake, chocolate frosting down on the table, that is not going to entice me to break my diet. It's not. Okay? However, peanut butter fingers, peanut butter frosting, okay, now I'm listening. Okay? And now you may be saying, you can have the peanut butter, give me the chocolate cake. What am I trying to illustrate? I'm trying to illustrate that some things are the same for everybody, but some things are different. And while the chocolate cake may not be a temptation for me, it may be a temptation for Wayne. Okay? Wayne, I could tell from the look on his face when I mentioned that he did not have chocolate cake for breakfast, but he would have loved to. Okay? Okay, but my point is this. Besetting the sin which so easily beset us, it may not be the same for me as it is for Pastor or Garrett or Mike. Okay? But there are certain things that we do well with and certain things that we don't do so well with. What application am I making? Okay, guard your own weakness and don't be so quick to jump on somebody else because they struggle in an area where you don't. Because you probably struggle in an area where they don't. Okay? But sin causes us to break our New Year's resolutions, if you will, or to get off of our Christian walk. And then number three is self. Self, right here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Okay? So when I say self, I mean this term weight here, this term weight just has the idea of something that is bulky or a mass or a burden. Okay? Now, if you have ever been to the point in your life where you had more weight than you needed, you know that can be an impediment. I mean, as a young person, you know, I'd never thought about that. You know, and then after we've been married a while, and one day I went to just bend down and pick something up, and I realized that my jeans were constricting me so badly that I was having a hard time bending. I'm like, uh-oh, you know what? I put a little extra weight here. And all of a sudden, it was an impediment. It was keeping me, it was restricting me from doing what I needed to do. Right now, that's a simple illustration. But a weight is something that may or may not necessarily be wrong, but it's a hindrance. Okay? For example, I mean, the chocolate cake or the peanut butter fingers, whichever one you prefer, is not automatically sinful. Okay? But if you have it in your mind that, all right, I've got to make these changes so I can hit this goal for my health, for whatever, all right, now all of a sudden, it's wrong for me to do that. Or it's, at a minimum, it's not helpful for me. And it, whereas, you know, Jed can eat it and it probably wouldn't affect him too much. And we still love him. But anyway, we're not bitter about that. But no, self, the things that we like, that we don't want to give up, that may not necessarily be wrong. See, a lot of times we get this question, what's wrong with it? Okay? And that's a valid question. However, that's not the only question. Okay? The follow-up question is, okay, there's nothing wrong with it. All right? Tell me how it's beneficial. Okay? Tell me how it helps you to serve the Lord. Tell me how it helps you to accomplish what you need to do. Or show me that it's not hindering you from doing that. Okay? That's the idea here. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Okay? I mean, and all of us have things that we could spend all of our free time doing and enjoy it to the hilt, but it may not necessarily be profitable. Okay? What keeps us, what sidetracks us from our walk? Remember Galatians 5:7, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What sidetracks us from obedience to our walk, our walk, obedience to the Word of God? Sin, self, sometimes Satan. Okay? So how to break our New Year's resolution? Give up when there's satanic opposition. Okay? Refuse to deal with sin and cater to self over service. That's a great way to break your New Year's resolutions. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live it and to apply it. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.